It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to Fresh Oil, and so good to have you on the program today. One of my favorite Bible stories is found in the book of Mark, chapter 2. It says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them, and since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." If you attended Sunday school when you were a child, maybe you remember coloring a picture with this house with people cutting a hole in the roof, letting their friend down, four guys letting their friend down through the roof to get him healed. Desperate for their friend, wanting Jesus to touch him and heal him. Now, this town of Capernaum is a town that I visit usually every year. In Hebrew, it's actually called Kfar Nahum. Kfar is the word for village, and Nahum was the prophet Nahum of the Old Testament. And this was Jesus' hometown for the 3.5 years that he ministered as an evangelist, traveling across the Galilee area, ministering all around and healing the sick. This is probably the home of Simon Peter's mother-in-law, because that was the place where Jesus would stay as he was in the town of Capernaum. I love the fact that the home was filled with people. There was not even room outside the door. People were so hungry when Jesus came preaching and teaching them as a rabbi, and they filled the house. No doubt word had spread about this new rabbi who taught different than all the others. And the Bible says since they could not get him to Jesus, they make an opening in the roof above Jesus. See, I believe this was an act of faith. I can imagine when you're deciding that you're going to cut a hole in the roof of this house, maybe they didn't know Simon. Maybe they didn't know his mother-in-law. And they're thinking, wow, he could call the police on us. He could have us arrested. I wonder what it's going to cost to repair that roof. But no, they didn't think about that. They thought, there's only one thing stopping us from getting this man to Jesus and getting his miracle, and that is that roof. So we're going to cut a hole in it. What's stopping you today from receiving your miracle from God? Perhaps you have a need, whether it's a physical need, an emotional need, something in your life, a financial need, and you want to get to God for the answer for this. You want God to do a miracle for you. Let me ask you today, what's stopping you? What's the roof between you and your miracle today? I believe God wants you and I to operate in faith, to believe in our hearts that God will do what he promised he would do in his word. These guys begin to lower Jesus down. I imagine the eyes of everyone in the room were fastened on them as they're cutting a hole in the roof. Probably got real quiet when they started sawing. And the Bible says in verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith. Isn't that amazing? You would think, can you see faith? Many times we don't see faith, but Jesus saw faith. He knew that they would never do this unless they already believed he was going to do a miracle for them. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." You know what's neat about that? See, Jesus recognized that this man had a need that was much deeper than the fact that he couldn't walk. And that was, he was without forgiveness. He was a sinner. And so the Jesus says to him before he ever addresses his physical problem, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now the Bible tells us in verse 6, now some teachers of the law were sitting there. These were the religious lawyers. They knew the law of Moses forward and backwards, all 613 of them. And they're thinking to themselves, not saying anything out loud, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Now look what Jesus does. He hears their thoughts. The Bible says, immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven? Or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? Wow. Jesus knew what they were thinking. Don't you think maybe the religious lawyers there had to have a shocking moment when Jesus revealed their thoughts to them? It's like when the woman was caught in the act of adultery and Jesus goes over and he begins to write in the sand. And one by one, all these people just began walking away. Those that had the stones ready to throw at the woman and kill her just walked away as Jesus began writing in the sand. See, I believe he wrote what they were guilty of themselves. And then Jesus says this. He said to the paralytic, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Wow. The miracle that all five men had been waiting for. The paralytic and the four friends that let him down through the roof. I believe God delights, the Bible says, in giving good gifts to his children. The Bible says all the promises of God are yes and amen through Christ. Jesus that day not only forgave this man's sin, but he also gave him his miracle. And he said, get up, take your mat, and go home. Verse 12 records the finale of the story. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. I can just see the crowd parting. Remember, it was so full, they couldn't even get in. They couldn't even get through the door. But all of a sudden, when a paralytic picks up his mat, in full view of everyone, he's healed now, and he begins to walk home. The crowd just moves, and he walks right through them. The Bible says this amazed everyone, and they praise God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. I think this is the kind of miracle we all want to see in our churches or in our home Bible studies, to see God do the impossible, to see him do the miraculous. I've been writing a book for a long time now called Miracles Happen to Ordinary People, just chronicling some of the miracles I've seen in my 65 years of life. It was a miracle that brought my family to the Lord. My mom's best friend back in the mid-1960s, my mom's best friend came down with cancer. Doctors gave her 6 months to live. But she came to a little church outside our community, and they prayed for her, and something miraculous happened. The next time she went back to the doctor and asked him to check her because she had had prayer, doctor said, I can't find any trace of cancer. I've seen these kind of miracles in my lifetime so many times as I've seen God do the impossible. Now, you might be sitting there today saying, Keith, I don't believe in that. Well, you don't have to. But don't expect anything to happen unless you're going to first have faith and believe God for the impossible. Do you know John 21:25 says this? It says, there are many other things Jesus did. If every one of them were written down, I suppose the whole world would not be big enough for all the books that would be written. Maybe you're thinking today, I've never seen a miracle. And yet God brought you to listen to this program today. He wanted you to hear about his power, about what he can do in your situation that you might be thinking is hopeless. In the very next chapter of Luke chapter 3, it says another time he went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Isn't that amazing? they're watching Jesus to see if he's going to work outside their box, if he's going to do something on a day that's reserved for resting, instead of thinking, wow, is someone going to get set free today? And Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, stand up in front of everyone. I like the fact that he's not going to heal him in secret, in private. It wasn't done in a corner. Then Jesus asked them, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. And he said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. I don't know if you've ever seen anything like that, but that would be pretty amazing to view, wouldn't it? To watch Jesus take a man whose hand was all shriveled, and right in front of your eyes, it's made completely normal. And then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. What a way to celebrate a miracle. This is at the beginning of the ministry of Jesus here on earth. In verse 7, it says, Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake, that would be the Sea of Galilee, and a large crowd from Galilee followed. And when they heard all he was doing, many people came to him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and the regions across the Jordan and around Tyre and Sidon. Because of the crowd, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him to keep the people from crowding him. For he had healed many, so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. Whenever the evil spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." But he gave them strict orders not to tell who he was. Isn't it amazing that the teachers of the law, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they didn't even recognize, in spite of their study of all the scriptures for years, they didn't even recognize that Jesus was who he said he was. But even the demons knew who he was. They cried out, "You are the Son of God." I'm talking to you today on Fresh Oil about creating an atmosphere of faith, believing God for what may seem impossible. You see, so many times our minds get overwhelmed with the circumstances. And so many times we think God can't get to us because of circumstances. But friend, I want to tell you today, God is bigger than any of your circumstances. Whatever it is you're facing today, whatever it is you're going through, God has the ability to break through that, and he has an ability to answer your prayers, the cry of your heart. This edition of Fresh Oil today is totally different. Some of you that listen to me every day, you're probably home thinking, wow, Pastor Keith, this is really different than the way you normally teach. And it does seem different today. But I believe someone is listening today, and you really need to hear this program. Maybe the doctors have given you a terminal diagnosis. Maybe they've told you you have only a few months to live, or a year to live, or maybe they've said you're beyond hope and help. I want to tell you today, God's bigger than any problem that you're facing in this life. And he can do the impossible. I have seen it so many times in my life. Just a year and a half ago, I couldn't even walk. I spent a whole year not even being able to walk. And guess what? I saw God do the impossible. He turned it around, and he restored me, and I'm better than I was before after God touched me in my body. Father, I pray for everyone listening today that's really struggling and needs a miracle from you. I pray that this program today created an atmosphere of faith that you will meet their need and touch their lives. We ask this today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, friend, for joining me today. Remember, God loves you with an everlasting love.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and he he makes his mercies new every morning.